Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Friday, you guys. You know, as I'm sure you guys are getting ready for Memorial Day weekend, you know, this is the time where people post memes on Facebook about how they remind you how it's Memorial Day, in case you forgot, in case you thought it was National Cookout Day or some crap like that, or Get Shit-Faced Day, whatever, anything to make them insufferable, condescending, you know, a-holes. But then, of course, they themselves are probably going to go and get shit-faced. So, for me, it's been an uneventful Friday because I'm, you know, our boss lets work from home, but I'm on call, and of course, it's been quiet all week, but naturally, two of my calls today have been hardware issues, so, and they occur on different times of the day. One happened early in the morning, just as I sat down to have my coffee, so I had to go all the way in, drop back in the medical center, took care of that. Now, just as I got home, I got another page for another hardware issue. Same, similar thing. But this one, the monitor isn't even coming on. So, and I could just have help desk go down and do it. But the problem is with help desk and desktop support is if they see it, there's like, if it's like it has some sort of medical imaging thing attached to it, they won't touch it. You know, whereas me, you know, from growing up in the hard, you know, back in, you know, the hardware days, to me, hardware was hardware. So, you know, if you unplug something, if it doesn't come back up, you just reboot it, it comes back up, all that stuff. I mean, that's really all it is, but for some people, if it looks different to them, if it feels foreign, they won't touch it because they're afraid. Worst you can do is, you know, worst you can do is turn it off and not turn it back on. So, I'm heading back at the medical center for a second time. I'm hoping this is the last time I have to do this. And I hope this weekend is quiet, but from Memorial Day, but I won't hold my breath. And really, you know, there's not much to talk about sports-wise, and I just figured I'd throw one last thing in and just have a potpourri of topics. First of all, Pitt Baseball's in the semifinals. They play tomorrow. And I'm surprised, really. I mean, I thought they would be an early exit, but they've pulled off two big wins, 2-1 over Tech, 5-4 over North Carolina, although that has some controversy as they got screwed on a, they got screwed by the umps. But, you know, again, it's Carolina in Carolina, so that's going to happen. But Pitt, despite collusion from the ACC, got it done. So they're moving on. I'm not sure what happens to Giordano after this year. But as you know, this has been a topic of mine for last few podcasts. He's been here for so long, 18, 19 years probably. Does Heather like stick with him, or does she go with somebody else? Does she feel that the program now is trending upwards, where she feels comfortable with them? Because, you know, he had some good years in the Big East. It's just they couldn't qualify. You know, and that's just the thing we have to look at. Does she feel comfortable with him, or does she have somebody else in mind that can get them to the next level? Who knows? But until then, enjoy the ride. I think it's great. I like to see, it'd be awesome to see Pickett get to the tournament, you know, go on a run, but probably won't be the case. But they've had a hell of a year. I mean, yeah, losing record in the ACC, but it's been this has been the most wins they've ever had in the ACC. And it's, you know, baseball, ACC is a tough place to play. It really is. Tough conference. So Pitt's, you know, they've obviously been in a transition to this. A lot of their sports have. Basketball especially. Although, I really don't think Jamie Dixon had to really change his formula all that for the ACC. I think if he'd have just kept his Big East formula with the, you know, recruiting the Bruisers and stuff like that, Pitt would have still won in the conference. But, of course, those players that you get, you have to convince them to play in the ACC. They want to, you know, or else they want to play their buddies in the Big East. But if you ever, people have pushed this narrative about the Pitt New York pipeline. You know, early in the Dixon Howland years, that was a big pipeline, but after a while, it died off. I mean, they got players from New York, but it wasn't exclusive. I mean, they were getting guys from Maryland, Philly, Texas, Canada, Brazil. I mean, South America. I mean, I think Stephen Adams is from Brazil, one of the two. So, Pitt was getting their players from all over the place. So, the whole Pitt-New York pipeline for the Big East was always such a false narrative. I mean, because we all knew the Pitt got their players from all over the place. But, you know, people love, you know, it's something for people to write, you know, for narratives to push. And, you know, I took some time to look at what Lance White's doing at with women's basketball. And, you know, I like the guy. I like his energy. I think he's going to be really good for Pitt basketball. And I just got a vibe that, you know, the women's hoops program may take off. It may really take off with him at the helm. We shall see. All right, so let's go to some bevy of topics that are popular. Obviously, the first thing is the anthem, the whole NFL anthem stuff. I won't dive too deeply into it because you guys have probably been on Twitter reading every hot take, opinion, replies, all this stuff. Now, you know, when I went to the games up until 2009, the players never came out for the anthem. They were always in the locker room, and the anthem was sang, and then the players, they introduced the teams. That's how it always was. So obviously, like my dad said, something changed along the way, and of course, you know, after the date was 2011, where supposedly they started having players come out, and obviously, it's because the NFL got in bed with the military, and that's what they wanted. Well, here's the thing, where the NFL screwed up, is they probably, when they did this whole thing, said, hey, you guys need to come out for the anthem, but you have to stand for the anthem if you're going to be out there. So, that's just how it is. I mean, a lot of you guys, when you go to the games, when you hear the anthem, what do? You stand up. Put your hand on your heart. Or definitely take your hat off. That's just how it always is. So, probably what NFL screwed up was they made standing optional. And, you know, obviously, you know, they probably think this through, and obviously they probably didn't think they would have this type of thing, you know, with not so much with the anthem protest, but with the players kneeling. But the only thing that for me is that I wish the players and the owners could have sat down and had a meaningful dialogue about it. I think that's what's really the problem is. It's the dialogue. Even Sean Jones said, I listened to him on Josh Ennis, you know, the other day in Houston. You know, Sean's worked for the Players Union. He's worked for the NFL, the Players Union, all over the place. And a lot of these roles are pretty much up for debate in the collective bargaining agreements. So, that's, I mean, if you're wondering why Goodell has a job, it's because he knows how to bring the Players Union down to their knees. So, that's the only real reason why Roger Goodell still has a job. Because that agreement is going to be up for renegotiation pretty soon, and they're going to need Goodell to lead the charge, where they'll eventually probably have him step down after that. Because they don't want to have a new leader in there trying to bargain with these players. So, like I said, that's, you know, when they put this in place, they should have had these guidelines set beforehand, which they didn't. So that's on them. They screwed this. I mean, the NFL screwed this up. And so now you just have a combination between them and the players going back and forth. And you got both sides of the argument going back and forth of the whole thing. And to be honest, for me, my thought is, when you know, obviously it's talked about now, but I think once the season starts and as the season goes along, it'll die down. It'll probably become a moot point after that, and people will forget about it. It's just, you have to hope the president keeps his mouth shut about it, because that was the problem in the beginning. You know, the kneeling protest, there was very few guys doing it, and it wasn't that big of an issue at all. Because very few of them were doing it then, and nobody, it was never talked about. But then the president of the United States decided to have his little speech and call him a few names, and, well, there you have it. It was back on. But I believe the reason it was done, why the president said the words that he said, was because he was trying to distort the message of the protest. Because if you distort it, you can go ahead and make these rules. Because initially, they were doing it for social, you know, the protest social issues, you know, inequality and social issues, basically. So, if you go ahead and call these players SOBs and things of that nature, well, they get mad and they kneel. So, why are you kneeling? Not because of social justice and equality, all that, all those things. Not, they're just kneeling just to kneel. So, it doesn't be, you know, so right then and there, the original message of what, you know, Colin Kaepernick was doing gets screwed up. It gets distorted. So, then NFL can say, you guys aren't really kneeling for this stuff. You're just kneeling because you're upset or your feelings are hurt. Because, you know, after what happened with it, especially what happened with the Texans, when Bob McNair made the words that he said, you know, during that meeting, that sure enough, most of the Texans started kneeling after that. But, I mean, it'll die down. One thing the players could do is not play. But then, of course, the owners would not pay them. So then it'd be like a strike. And you got a lot of players who want that, who need that paycheck. Because there's something, I mean, although they make a lot of money, there's a lot of players that live paycheck to paycheck still. Because they overspend. Or, I mean, not so much overspend, but they don't take care of their finances. You know, we've had instances where people have, you know, or athletes, they may have somebody not qualified of their bookkeeping screwing it up, or they sign over power of attorney to somebody. So this, it's just gonna be hard to do. So like I said, it'll probably die down as the season goes along. So I just really wouldn't waste the energy on it right now. you know, for one thing, the NFL made the decision they made, although it was a really, I don't know. It's just the NFL. Given, I mean, because basically they, what they don't want is people kneeling, and they want them on television kneeling. They want them, so it's easier to have them stay in the locker room. You know, Mike Tomlin did that, and he took a lot of criticism for it. But you know what? Tomlin knew there was players divided on this issue, and he thought it was best just to stay away from it because, you know, it's just when you have 85 guys in a, when you have so many, not the 85 guys, but when you have so many guys in a locker room, like 50 some guys, different personalities, different beliefs, people are going to get judged. So he decided, you know, if he wanted to protect his players is what all was. And of course, you know, you had Villanueva who went out there and yeah, the message was to stay inside the locker room. But, you know, with Villanueva, I had no issues with him going out there because he's a veteran. And that's what, you know, and I know it's hard for him, you know, to, you know, stay in the locker room. He wanted to go and pledge his flag because, you know, that's, you know, that's what he did. I mean, that's what he took bullets for. Well, I mean, he gets shot for it, but I don't think he was shot for it, but that's what he fought. You know, he fought evil for. And let's move on from that. We got the NBA playoffs going on still. You know, we got LeBron James down 3-2. I wasn't surprised by the Celtics winning game 5. Not so much because it was at home, but game 4, I thought he had the Cavaliers where he wanted them. It's just that he couldn't stop LeBron James. And when you couldn't, you know, when you can't stop LeBron, that's what happens. I mean, Celtics weren't totally out of that game. It's just if it wasn't for LeBron, LeBron just put him away pretty much. So we're back in Cleveland, and you know, I'm sure LeBron's gonna go all out and probably win that one. Or maybe Brad Stevens pulls off a miracle, who knows? I mean, it's a lot to talk about, a lot to consider. But Brad Stevens in the NBA Finals, I mean, that'd be something. Here's a guy who, you know, pretty much ended the Dixon era pit. Although he didn't really humiliate Jamie at all in any sense. It was a pretty evenly matched game between them and Butler. Although Butler was an 8 seed and Pitt was a 1 seed. It's just that, at the end of the day, Jamie didn't take his players off the foul line, and Naz Robinson committed one of the most boneheaded plays in the history of Pitt basketball. I mean, that team that year, they were very talented, but they did do some things that made you just say, what the fuck? So let's be honest. They did, you know, do some head-scratching things sometimes. But like I said, you know, Tom Izzo is being considered now for the Orlando Magic job, which would probably be a, I could see why he would leave, given what's happened with at Michigan State with the Larry Nassar stuff. And of course, I guess he's getting dragged into it as well. Because I guess supposedly he may have had some, you know, I don't know if he had any knowledge, but I guess he got dragged over the over some issues with his players. Off the field stuff. Now, from what Michigan State people said, he's already addressed it. You know, it's already been handled, and that ESPN just digging. You know, media outlets like ESPN just digging up stuff just for a story. So he's probably getting sick of it. He knows that you know, if things end for him in Michigan State, it's going to be hard for him to find another job. So this is why he's moving on. So I could see it happening. I mean, don't laugh. I mean, I mentioned Jamie Dixon last week, possibly being considered, you know, for the Mavericks job. It could happen. I mean, it depends on how high he does at TCU. Maybe Mark Cuban looks at what he does and says, hey, you know, maybe he want to coach in the pros. And that's only one job I can see. You know, Jamie leaving TCU for his alma mater, unless there's a West Coast job somewhere near his parents. It would just depend on what he's looking for. But last night we saw the Rockets win, and Chris Paul is out for Game 6. And the thing about this is bad for the Rockets because they're going to need a healthy Chris Paul to close out this series. I do believe, though, you know, the Rockets still, I mean, it depends on what Harden does. Harden's been struggling as of late. They're going to need him to show up in Game 6 because with Paul out, if he doesn't show up, they're screwed for the most part. And Paul pretty much put him on his back in Game 5. Whereas Harden, you know, didn't. And that's pretty much, and this is why, you know, this is why Chris Paul was brought in. You know, so in case of James Harden has these type of lapses, somebody, you know, can be the one who takes charge. And that's what Chris Paul has done. He's been the leader. And, you know, last two games have been close. And, of course, what the Rockets have been doing is they've gone from the D'Antoni typical run and gun offense to a half court defensive style. So, I mean, if you're a Pitt fan, pretty much they're going from the Kevin Stallings up tempo to the Jamie Dixon half court. So there you have it. And it's worked out for them. I mean, they've won the last two games. I mean, I just don't see them knocking out the Warriors right now. Especially without Chris Paul. They're gonna need him back for sure. But anyways, guys, enjoy the weekend. Obviously there'll be some fun stuff this weekend. We got basketball, more NBA playoffs, we got Pitt baseball on Saturday. And let's not forget about the Stanley Cup playoffs kicking off. We got Ovi versus Flurry. I forgot to talk about that. You know, obviously Ovi got over his little jinx there, and he's finally made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. But they got the Vegas Golden Knights, I believe is who they are. Or are they the Kent State Golden Flashers? I don't know, but Fleury's on a hot streak. They took Winnipeg in 5, but I think the Capitals obviously are very hungry because they're here, and this could be the chance for Ovi to finally get the monkey off his back and get himself a cup. And I'm sure the NHL would love for this to happen, to love him have a cup. And this is the best situation for him. I mean, this is the best thing, you know. To me, I mean, I thought if they're going to get past the Pens, they better damn well win the cup. Otherwise, you're like, what the hell? You beat us. You finally get that monkey off your back. And then, you know, with a golden chance to win the cup, you blow it. So, and I know, obviously, Pens fans are at odds. Well, there's some over who to root for, and you know, Fleury's in the Stanley Cup Finals, and you know, Fleury's gone, but you can still root for him, you know, if you want. I mean, the guy, he wasn't such a bad guy. I mean, for the Pens, it was a business decision. The guy's old. He doesn't have many years left, and you got a young goaltender who's already won two cups for you. So you take the obviously you go with the young guy. You don't do what the Steelers do and let the young guy go and, you know, stick with the old guy because of loyalty. Because that's what the Steelers used to do. And sometimes they still do that, which baffles my mind. But anyways, guys, enough rambling. Finally, enjoy the holiday weekend. Cuddle pit.